Now, I think many people today don't even understand that Iran ever was a democracy. But in fact, this is a country that's had a constitution for more than 100 years. And in the early 50s, it really was consolidating its democracy. If we had managed to keep our hands off Iran, we might have had a thriving democracy in the heart of the Muslim Middle East all these 50 years. And I can hardly wrap my mind around how different the world would look if we had only managed to keep our hands off. Now, I talked about unintended consequences. In the period immediately following the overthrow of Mossadegh, Americans were very happy. Kermit Roosevelt was welcomed into the Oval Office of the White House and given a secret medal in a private ceremony. And he briefed President Eisenhower and John Foster Dulles on how it had been done. Oh, it was so successful. Dulles immediately went out and started doing this again. Less than a year, we went off and overthrew another government down in Guatemala. So the Iran operation seemed like a great success. We got rid of a guy we didn't like, Mossadegh. And we replaced him with a guy, the Shah, who would do everything we wanted. So it was a perfect outcome. Doesn't look quite so perfect now. Let's try to trace very briefly what happened. So the Shah ruled with increasing repression for 25 years. His repression produced the explosion of the late 1970s, what we call the Islamic Revolution. That revolution brought to power a clique of fanatically anti-American mullahs who have spent the last 25 years bitterly and sometimes very violently working to undermine American influence all over the world. That revolution in Iran also weakened Iran enough so that Iran's biggest enemy, next door Saddam Hussein, decided to invade Iran. We were so angry at Iran that we became military allies of Saddam Hussein. President Reagan sent a high-level special envoy to meet twice with Saddam Hussein. And of course, that envoy was none other than Donald Rumsfeld. I love that photo of Rumsfeld shaking Saddam's hands. It says it all. We provided helicopters to Iraq to drop poison gas inside Iran. We provided Iraq with bombing coordinates so they could strike at targets inside Iran. So that not only shook that region, but it also brought the United States into its death embrace with Saddam. That was the beginning of the spiral down in Iraq that led us to this present debacle. The turmoil of the Islamic Revolution also led the Soviets to be terrified that there would be copycat revolutions all along their southern front. That's what led them to invade Afghanistan. And their invasion of Afghanistan is what led us to go over to Pakistan and spend hundreds of millions and even billions of dollars to train huge armies of jihadis to go off and kill the infidel. We didn't realize that those jihadis we trained were going to become the Taliban, and the infidels that they wanted to kill would be us. All of that stemmed from 3 weeks of history in 1953 in Iran. Now, to this day, I think we're still living under the emotional overhang of the hostage crisis of 1979. We just met a member of Congress today who said that I approached someone on the floor of the House and asked him if he'd support a resolution for negotiating with Iran. And he looked at me and he said, "No, they took over our embassy and seized our diplomats." We are still caught in this emotional prison. Now, I want to tell you a fascinating story that happened to me during a visit to Washington this autumn. I was on a panel discussion about Iran with several other people. One of them was one of the American hostages, one of those diplomats. Actually, it was the chief diplomat, Bruce Langen. He had been the chief of the U.S. mission in Tehran at the time the hostages were taken. I had never met him, but I knew that he'd become an advocate of reconciliation with Iran, and so I was eager to talk to him. I wanted to chat with him a little. Later, we exchanged some emails, and he told me a fascinating story, which, to my knowledge, has never appeared in print. He said, "I was sitting in my cell in that embassy in Iran. I had been in a solitary cell for about 1 year. And one day, unexpectedly, the door opened, and there is one of the hostage takers, one of my jailers, is standing there. And I looked up at him, and 1 year of rage and anger and fury exploded out of me, and I started screaming at him. I told him, you have no right to do this. This is totally cruel. This violates every law of God and man. You cannot take innocent people hostage and treat them like this. He said, I went on for several minutes screaming at him, and he just looked very, waited very patiently. And when I finally ran out of breath, he leaned into my cell and pointed a finger at me and, in very good English, said, you have no right to complain because you took our whole country hostage in 1953. What that story tells me is that the hostage taking, deplorable as it was, did not come out of nowhere. It was not just an act of blind hatred and nihilism. People who participated in that episode have now written about it and said, it was all about 1953. What happened in 1953? We forced the Shah out of the country, but CIA agents working in the basement of the U.S. Embassy arranged a coup and brought him back. Now it's 25 years later, 1979. The Shah fled again, same Shah. So what's going to happen? We're afraid the same thing is going to happen again. CIA agents working in the basement of the U.S. Embassy will organize a coup and bring the Shah back. We had to prevent that. If we had never done that in 1953, there never would have been a hostage takeover.